All right, welcome back to the Weird Science DC Comics New 52 Review Podcast. Today we are going to talk about and finish the Batman Volume 1, Court of the Owls. And if you're reading individual issues, this will be issues 4 through 7. It is a longer trade. I will warn you, I forgot going into this that this trade ends pretty much on a cliffhanger. It is not it's not a real contained story. It's pretty much, and when you do get to the next volume, which is Night of the Owls, it ends up, this is pretty much set up to that, and it just goes down the line. But speaking of which, we start with issue 4 here, and really you realize that everything before that, the first three issues we talked about the last episode, pretty much set up as well. It's setting up for Batman, so you know that he is, you know, doesn't believe in the Court of Owls. He is looking into him. This is where we actually start to see the veil being unlifted. But
he's a believer.
He is a believer now. He's a believer. I just want to start before we go in, to just remind people, this is written by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capullo, inks by Jonathan Glapion, colorist FCO. I'll throw the
Placencia
in there. All anywhere. Right. Eric, and letters by Richard Starkings. And like we said, we had done the first three issues, and basically that was a lead up to Bruce trying to getting evidence that really does. I mean, it really, really points towards the fact that there is a Court of the Owls, but Bruce just keeps going. And if you were in Rebirth, if you're reading Rebirth and you've been reading Detective Comics, it did seem very similar to what he did with the League of Shadows. And because of that, I don't mind it as much here. We had talked about this last episode. It really, though, throws a lot of craziness during the Rebirth Detective with the League of Shadows, because he's already been proven once to himself that he has not,
You fool Batman once, you know.
You fool me twice.
Shame on him.
And three times a lady.
You ain't gonna fool him again.
But it did end the last issue, the last part of the episode last time. It ended with Batman pretty much tripping a wire. We saw the trip wire. He was going and he was researching and finding these hidden Talon bases.
Little bunkers hidden in
Where buildings. Again, is at this point, you think going into this, okay, he's got to realize now, right? He's got to fully realize what's going on. And the fact that there's a tripwire in this last one, and it was the most recent one, where if you remember, I believe it was 2007, the picture
was. I think
was
it was. That
there,
sounds right.
Throwing out gang signs, the Talon in the middle. He looked all friggin', you know, impressed with himself.
Go to the Owls, ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. And the thing about this is obviously, there was a tripwire. He tripped it. There was an explosion. To me, right there, if I'm Bruce Wayne, I'm thinking to myself, okay, somebody's there now. Like, it could be an old tripwire or whatever, but it seems to be active. This is the last one he had gone to. He tripped the wire in the explosion. Like I said, at the end of that, we had to find out if Batman survives, Eric. And spoiler alert, he does. It's amazing that he actually survives. But he does say, as it's going, you see the explosion. He's kind of falling around. Shit's going crazy all around him. And it made me laugh because he's talking about the tripwire. And he says the real threat from a tripwire comes later in the aftermath. I'm like, no, I think the real threat is the explosion. Now, if he says
your legs
aftermath,
off initially.
Yeah, if he says the aftermath is that they're high up in a building and it might topple, I'll go with that. But he makes it seem as if it's an instrument of fear, that it shows you that the person who had set the tripwire has, you know, knows the environment more than you. And I, every time I see a tripwire like this, I don't know, I always think of Vietnam and guys out in the shit, Eric,
so
and they're
I.
going. And I'm telling you, afterwards, when a guy's legs are blown off, he's not saying like, "Ooh, they got me because of that fear. Now
that
I know they know the place
really
better."
Did it.
No, he's like, "Yeah, no." He's like, "I don't have legs. I now have no legs." But you see Batman, he gets shot out, and he says that it's a setup for this kind of kick-ass Batman moment where it's an instrument of fear. He doesn't have fear. You know,
it's funny to me, too, as this progresses, because we see the explosion and everything start coming down around Batman and this whole little hidden bunker thing. And when the big old owl, like, emblem falls down from where it's hanging, the way the freaking coloring is and the way the light plays off it, like, it looks like the owl is staring at Batman.
It's staring at alive. It looks
like
it's
stop looking at the owl.
Now, again, there's a lot of symbolism in this and the owls in the city. And I even said, as I was going through this, I think when I first read it, I was just reading it full out, just enjoying it or whatever. And didn't even get the concept. And also, I'll tell you, at that point, I was just reading it issues And it had already come out. We got involved at the second year of the New 52, but I didn't buy all these at once. I didn't have all seven issues. So I'd read issue one and two, I think. I'm reading it. Then I went and I bought the other. So the actual reading it in a row like this, it does, and what you said about the owl and the symbolism and stuff like that, it really does tie into how it began. I didn't realize, I think, the first time I read it, how much it goes in with that Gotham is and how Batman thinks. And he said he was partial to Gotham as Batman. Right. This comes in, and then later on while we're talking, Dick really throws it in, basically says, you know what? The city's older than Batman. You know, the city's been around for 400 years. Maybe there is this thing you don't know about. You're not everything. And you know what? The Court of the Owls isn't Gotham, and neither are you. And I think that that's a struggle with Batman through this
Gotham
whole thing.
Yeah, Gotham is Nightwing, right?
Yeah. No. Nightwing. Gotham is Catwoman. I think that there's a struggle with Batman, kind of an egotistical thing involved here because of the fact that Gotham isn't Batman, you know, and he wants to think it is. He thinks that he knows everything.
Like we said, that even goes along with the whole League of Shadows thing, kind of thing, because, you know, this thing can't be real because I don't know about it.
Yeah, exactly. So we go back, we see that he does survive, and we go with Dick Grayson coming to check him in on the Batcave. And
did you find it funny at all, like when he is trying to get out of this bunker facility and he's running away from all the fucking falling debris and all the fire and shit, that he seems to clothesline that case of that Talon costume just in spite as he freaking goes?
He's like running through and he's like, you know, punching it.
Fuck you, Talon
it
costume.
It is funny. It is funny. He does that. But yeah, he does like a laser deal to, I guess, cut through the wall, bashes through, and then uses a grappling hook deal. And I'm telling you, even then, as he swings down and hits the side of the building, he's got to be hurt so bad. Oh, yeah. And indeed he is. And Dick goes in to see him, goes to visit him in the Batcave. And this is something – I'm not sure if people liked it. I liked it. I think me and you both laughed because you find out – because Alfred knows Bruce, and Alfred knows exactly how he is. He knows he's not going to rest. So when Dick comes down to see Bruce – Alfred basically, and Dick knows about it. That's the other thing. They drug him. When he is injured and they want him to rest, they dope him up so that he rests.
They have to. It's a big fucking dope that keeps getting back up.
Yeah. And he does it later on in the trade. I think Alfred should have injected him again. But it's funny, too, because as they're doing it, as he's going down
and talking about it. That's why Batman never eats anything that Alfred brought him, you know, in the freaking comic book.
He's scared.
He's scared. Every time Alfred comes in with some kind of food, it's drugged. I'm not eating this, Alfred.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. If people haven't read a lot, that's the only reason he has Damien. He's his taste tester, Eric. He tests everything on him. He's like, hey, buddy, taste this chicken and jalapeno sandwich. And Damien just falls over sleeping. He's like, God,
well, it's quiet time for you for a little bit, little guy.
Yeah, it's time for bed. He ends up showing. And the other thing is, though, he did drug him. But you have the whole thing where Batman's a badass. Bruce is a badass. And it's 5 milligrams of ace. And Dick says that would take down an elephant. Baboon. He doesn't get to see it. He sees that Bruce is indeed up. He has a smile, and he's like, all is right in the world.
Gonna have to go to 6 milligrams, huh?
Yeah. Next is 10. I'm telling you, he's got a tolerance. You got to go up.
Next thing you know, Alfred is fucking Michael Jackson's doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, next thing you know, there's a case. There's a lawsuit going. But he's working on what we find out is Alan Wayne. His great-great-grandfather, he's looking at the remains. And this is where we had it already. It's funny, too, now that I think of it while I'm reading this, I'm like, he made Alfred dig it up. Remember, he called Alfred to make him dig it up. He does the dirty work. And he's going through and just, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And there's a good interplay between him and Dick, like between the Bat computer, Dick, and Bruce. But you are – I like this because you are right away in the couple issues, you are realizing that Dick is – almost to Bruce's equal, I think, with the thing. But if you start pushing Bruce, even Dick is going to get pushed aside. You know what it is? Because he's there. And Dick is worried about Bruce because he is saying to him, you know what, I don't think you're taking this serious enough. This Court of the Owls deal, it really does look like what it looks like. It looks like the Court of the Owls. And Bruce just does not want to give in. And even as he's looking at these bones, and what we find out later is everything with these bones of his ancestor, his relative, is pointing to it as well. Yeah. And it's crazy because
I love this interplay though between Dick, Bruce, and the back computer. Because the back computer is all voice activated and shit like that. So as Dick's talking to him, Bruce is continuing his work and talking to the computer, so continue. And then Dick starts continuing. Not you. I'm talking to the computer.
And then at one point he tells the back computer to shut up, and I think we're supposed to wonder if he meant that or Dick. But, yeah, Dick even says that Gordon is worried, that Gordon even thinks, because they do. They point to the whole thing. A John Doe came up to me, highly ghosted ID, killed by an assassin calling himself a Talon, who rose from the dead, killed – I mean – it's pretty crazy, and it does bring into the whole thing of maybe
you put Bruce, the clues on the goddamn whiteboard there, Bruce. All this pointing out to the goddamn Court of the Owls.
All the yarn is pointing to the middle picture of the Court of the Owls, and it's almost getting to the point where Dick even thinks you're just thinking you're too big. You know what I mean? It's like you got to realize you're not the biggest, baddest thing, and that's where he's going to leave then. And then Dick, that's when Bruce stops him and says, listen, I already looked into it. That's why. Now, again, you go through this whole sequence of him as a child looking into it. I love the reasons why. I don't love the reasons of, now that he's older, him just going back and saying, nope, there was none. I mean, to me, because it ends up being that he does learn the lesson. He says, this was like my first detective case. And as I was reading this too, I'm like, I would like a young Bruce Wayne book, like this age, like his parents had just died.
Gotham.
And yeah, but not that's I don't even know, because I only watched one episode. And I wasn't getting that. It reminded me of like young Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
I want something like that, because he says he could not accept the fact that just some piece of shit killed his parents for money and pearls. And
there's
got to
be
a
grander design going
on
here.
And I get it too. And it really, I think Scott Snyder does a great thing here, because it is something. And even Dick says, no, you know, I know how it was. I felt the same way. Here's the other thing, though, is both of them are talking, and we don't really get a full tie-in yet of what happened, but Dick's death and things like that, it kind of was more. Like, anybody who could say, like, ooh, I'm going to find out more. Dick finds out a lot more about things, even in this. I like the idea that a little kid just can't accept that it was just a mindless killing. And also because you have a little boy who thought that his parents were – you know, they were the shit, and they were larger than life. Even so, like, if my mom and dad died, I could think as a little kid, hey, you know what? They're larger than life. In fact, it's just because my dad was 600 pounds, but they weren't connected. Bruce's parents, it seemed like they were destined for more. And in his mind, I would think that that's what he thought. Like, oh, they were supposed to be so much more. And he started looking
into
things. Like,
they're the Waynes of Gotham. They're untouchable. Yeah. They're fucking royalty in this goddamn
city.
Well,
and again, it goes back to this. And even Dick says it at points. Like, Bruce and that – it's the Wayne City. So how could they just die from a guy meeting them in Crime Alley and shooting them? It just didn't look good. Now, I do think that it's a weird art decision, because when they do show and he's like, when I was a kid, I looked into it. I was lost. I couldn't accept it. And they show, and it really looks like young Bruce has an owl mask on when he's sitting in that chair with Alfred. It really threw me off. But no, he looked into it, and he looked in. And also the other minor thing was Bruce in his mind – thought there were signs, and this was part of the, you know, the Court of the Owls rhyme had verses from before. It's like, that is the, you know, the old school version had a thing about heeding warnings, and he didn't think his
signs.
Dad, and he had asked his dad about the Court of Owls, and his dad laughed it off, and they did see a sign. Now, the sign happened to be an owl living in their attic. I don't know how much of a sign that really is. It seems like a really push,
but seems like something a little boy would fucking think.
Well, that's what I mean. It goes really well with him being a little boy, and it looks like he killed the owl. He tried to get rid of it, but then he started looking into his parents' connections and the people he knew. And I really like the art. It's like an old school, like, showing the flashback deal. He found a place, the Harbor House, where all of these people that knew his dad, these socialites and the bigwigs of Gotham, would go and meet. So he really thought that he had found things. He looked at the schematics, and really, for a little kid, I really, really like the way they spell this out as a detective case. And he says, like, his first detective case, but it ends up almost killing him, because he goes into this room and he says to Dick, he finds this false room where he thinks it's the meeting place of the owls, and when he opens it up, he says, I found something even more frightening. Nothing. He went in, there was nothing, though there was a table and things. I'm telling you, I wouldn't have thought that that's just nothing. You know what I mean? I would be like, ooh, there was something here, but it's long gone, but still.
Yeah, like the cobwebs and shit everywhere and the dust. And like nobody had been around in this freaking little, like, hobby hole or whatever the hell it is, this freaking false room in freaking decades, it seems.
Yeah. And what happened then? He did climb up to get to it. He climbed up a bookshelf, opened up, and the trap door that he went through the ceiling, fell down, and it seems that he could not open it, and he was
and
there.
That's the thing, too. I like to imagine there's a little boy. He's going through all of this trouble to get in this fucking little secret room. Can you imagine socialites and fucking rich-ass motherfuckers climbing up a bookcase to get to
climbing up the bookcase and stuff. Yeah, he didn't take that into account. It'd be so funny. It's like, go this way. Walk this way. And they're climbing up shit. But he can't get out. It does say that he was in there for over a week. And Alfred got him. He was in the hospital.
It almost killed him,
3 weeks. It almost killed him. And then he said, this is where I came up with my number one rule of being a detective and looking in things. I cannot let my emotions guide me on a case. And that's where he's gone from there. Now, I do think that later, when he goes down and gets actually into the labyrinth of the talents, he's there for almost the same amount of time. They even spell it out. It's like 8 days or something.
Yeah, it's a long ass time. Actually, I don't know. It's weird to me because we only see a little bit towards the end of his stay there. But when we get to the depiction of everybody else, you know, like,
oh, they look like they have to have been there months, right?
It's crazy the way just the freaking how crazed Batman seems in that whole
series.
But
at one point, I do think that when they try to kind of give you a time frame, it is through Gordon and Bullock later about the signal and like, hey, it's been 8 days, we haven't seen him or whatever. And I do think it's supposed to mirror when he was stuck up there in that attic. I just wonder what he was doing for 8 days in that attic. But yeah, he almost died. But then it goes and he's talking to Dick about it. And he said, I needed the Court of the Owls to be real. He wanted it there. He wanted it, but he just, that was the problem. He needed to look into the evidence. But the thing is, though, now's where the evidence is coming, Bruce. Now he is looking into how Alan Wayne died. So you get the idea. He is in the back of his mind probably worried about it being that, but he does seem to get some evidence of what he wants to go and look at, and he's going to go and look at where Alan ended up dying. He goes down into the sewer to where supposedly they found the body, and the big thing is they found marble in his bones, and they did find like pricks, pin pricks or whatever, knife pricks in his bones where he was stabbed.
Well, it's odd too because we already had we had the whole thing where we saw the flashback of this where the cops thought he was a crazy old man and just kind of fell into the freaking open sewer mantle and went down, and it seemed like that was just like, you know, he fell in and he died
and
right there. He
That's
drowned
what
or whatever. And then like when Batman's message, like his, you know, he was down there for weeks and weeks apparently, and they couldn't find his body initially.
Yeah, and that's where obviously he was taken to the labyrinth that we find out later, and then was stabbed. Because when he was running through the streets, he just had like a nightgown on, yelling and screaming, and then went in. Now, are you supposed to think that maybe, like you said, and there was the whole play of maybe he wasn't senile, because what, you know, it's like you might be paranoid, but what you think might be real as well. And when he went down the sewers, maybe he was going in not as he fell in, that now we realize he was going down like Bruce, and he was going to go confront them, investigate, whatever. But yeah, you get the idea now, especially as it leads on to the next bunch of issues, that he definitely was in the maze, because later we see his picture in there. So he did go down. And like you said, it was weird because you didn't see him, and when they did eventually find him, they didn't even have, they had to identify him by his fillings, stuff like that. So he was pretty beat up and whatever, and then just thrown in, which I'm telling you, at the end of all this, at the end of this trade, I do have a big problem of exactly how the Court of the Owls disposes of bodies.
I'm surprised they just didn't throw him in the goddamn river then.
Yeah, really. That's what it seemed like they would have been, but maybe that's because they knew he went down there. I don't know. But it continues then, and like I said, Gordon then is with the bat signal. And he's just sitting there, and it's weird too, because then you have Bullock there talking about, you know what, he's going to be dead soon. You're like, Jesus Christ, Bullock. But he means the signal. He calls it Siggy. Did you like that, the Siggy?
I actually did. At first, I had no idea what he was talking about. Are you talking about a cigarette? Then I realized
I'm
like,
that's what I
signal.
Thought too. And he's Siggy. Like, because he's just lighting up a cigar or a cigarette too there. Probably a cigar with him. It's like almost like a cigarillo, it looked. But he's talking. He's like, you know, you can't run this thing all the time. It's going to blow. The bulb's going to blow. And I thought, like, Is this like when I had one of those projectors?
Yeah, that's exactly
back?
What I thought.
Is that
of.
What you thought? Because I, you know, the bulb may blow a bullet, but you can get another one. But when I had
that's
one of those
problem.
Early
back
projectors,
when that happened, the early projectors, the bulb was more expensive than the
yeah,
goddamn machine.
I told you we were given that projector by Tanya's uncle, and I'm telling you, we had the whole one wall. We watched the Eagles Super Bowl on the wall. It was humongous. Yeah. And the thing with those were, if you turned it off and turned it back on right away, it would the bulb would blow because you have to let it cool all the way because those things got super hot and it blew. My son Alex turned it off and then decided he wanted to watch something again, turned it on, it blew. And I went to look online to see how much it was, and I'm telling you, it was like $950 for a bulb.
It was
like,
crazy.
Yep, let's pack that bitch up. We never touched it again.
I tell you, me and my buddy Jay used to freaking play video games on that, just projected on the fucking wall, and it was great. And then, like, you know, the whole thing, I was like, he had to take really good care of it because he let me know, like, the bulb is more expensive than the device itself. This is fucking crazy.
So when I read this, I'm like, ooh, that's what the Gotham City Police Department, they got a budget. They can't be buying a lot of these bulbs. And it's
they can afford an electric fence for the goddamn
thing. Yeah, really,
thing.
Later.
A laser
this
fence.
Is the problem, too, is they go through this, and we had just read Detective Comics this week as we record this, and it's with Stephanie Brown and her destroying the signal. And this whole thing, I'm like, God damn it, Stephanie, you're causing so much trouble because then
Gordon
says – You're
killing the yearly budget.
Yeah, and Gordon goes and talks about what this signal is. And you can go and you could think about all this, but it does go very well with the Bat family, though it's weird to me. It doesn't play out well for me because he's like, listen, it's not just for Batman. It's for the scum who think Gotham's a damn playground. It's for the other guys, too, the ones on our side. And they're showing all of, you know, Damian, Dick. I like, too, where Damian's punching a guy bloody and Dick behind him is just smiling. He looks like he's so proud of little Damian for beating the shit out of an old man. But yeah, you see Batgirl, Alfred, Batwing, Catwoman. You see all these
proper
people.
Batgirl.
And I thought, and I thought to myself, it's weird because that signal being on 24/7 for all those days, I don't think it would reassure me as a Bat family member. I think it would upset me. And even the people, like the people, we talked about this a lot this week in with even off the air, off the podcast, talking about what the signal would be and what it is. The problem for me is if it stays lit for over a day, like to me, that the city will start panicking because that means he has not answered it. I just a little aside for me, it is a symbol, but it's a symbol of that goes on and then the problems are solved and not knowing what the problem is, because basically Gordon is there trying to get a hold of him. He just wants to know he's alive because he's gone. Because all this, it's funny because this whole trade, all this Court of the Owls stuff, not one thing is happening to the city at this point. It's all Batman and everybody else is just business as usual. But I do also like, I think that Scott Snyder's also pushing through here the fact that the city is still taken care of. Batman is out of commission. The Court of the Owls has him, but there is the Bat family still taking care of things. And I do think also, and this is where when me and you talked at the beginning of the New 52, when we before we even had a site, we talk, and I didn't know the particulars of what the Bat family was or whatever. And this threw me off probably then that Catwoman is shown and Batwoman is not. And I'm like, there's Catwoman, no Batwoman. Jesus Christ, she didn't get any credit then at all. And you always just said to me, she's not part of the Bat. I'm like, I had to agree with you. Every time they had a crossover, they'd include Catwoman. They would never have a Batwoman issue with it. It was nonsense, especially because it's a relative. But you see, Batman, he was trying to look through, find things, and he is, you know, he got hit.
He was attacked by a Talon.
Yeah, he is attacked by a Talon, and he's in the labyrinth at this point. And this is the big thing for the Court of the Owls. And it's, I'm telling you, if you think about it too much, you just wonder how, like, there's Batman and he's been in, there's this huge labyrinth under Gotham that doesn't seem to be that far underneath. You can't really think too much of it. But it involves all this. The Court of the Owls is going to completely fuck with Batman, and it shows, has fucked with people throughout their whole existence. And he goes, he ends up in this fountain room with a huge fountain of an owl. Batman,
it seems like this is someplace he's been several times already.
Yeah,
like, he keeps going back to the same parts over and over again.
And this is
goddamn
the problem
labyrinth.
As he's going into the labyrinth, he wants to stay in the shadows. He wants to be the bat. The problem is he keeps ending up in these main rooms. It keeps funneling him into these rooms. And as he thinks in his mind, he thinks that they're trying to present a story. They're trying to present his narrative in this, and he wants to go against it the whole time. Well, right here is where things start getting crazy for him, because he needs to drink. He needs to, and he knows for a fact that he thinks that this fountain is...
It's got to be drugged.
It's drugged. And he even says, but he's got a drink, so he's just like, not too much, not, you know, not going on. But also, this whole thing, later on we find out, this is white marble. It's made of this soft marble there, and I think that that's where the tie-in is, where he was investigating Alan's bones, Wayne, and it had... Now, I don't know why it would have a residue of the marble on his bones or whatever, but I think that it's pointing out that that's where you get the first hint, like, ooh, he was in here. But the hints keep coming, because he goes in the next room, and this is the craziest room to me. It's basically, he goes in a room, there's a camera.
Come on, I'm just saying, though, Batman, you're the world's greatest detective. All you got to do is keep your hand on the left wall and follow it out. That's
yeah,
all
yeah, he doesn't do it, but he goes in, and the thing about it is, he's there, he get there's the pop and a light. And it's funny, too, because I didn't even realize going that at the first time that they had taken his picture. I just thought it was a light that went on, but
you know
do
what?
See.
I thought the same thing. I'm looking at it now, because I even remember as I was scrolling through and reading this whole thing. Actually, I was reading this in trade originally.
Yeah.
But, like, what is that thing in the center of the room that looks like it's smoking? Yeah. I didn't
and
realize,
it
was a camera later
and
on.
And it's
but
the flash think, smoking, because yeah. it just went off. And that makes sense, because then later on I'm thinking, when did they take his fucking picture? Because he goes, and this room's filled with pictures, and he even knows this is a room, it looks like, all the people they killed, and it's fucked up. Here in the maze, hundreds of people over hundreds of years, and it's the start of the Court of Owls, really, for about, and it seems like this would be for everyone, because probably all these people were pretty big, you know, people that ended up there, like in Alan Wayne, where this yeah. is the start of, you think you're something, look at all the other people who thought they were something, and look at them. And you look, and like you said, they all look like Alan Moore fucking wannabes, except there's one lady in the one thing. She looks like she just took a headshot. She wants to be in the next Hollywood picture.
You're talking about that one on the second from the bottom?
Yes. Yeah, she's smiling. She looks like she's having a ball. It's like one of those where you see the picture, like, check out the hottest mug shots, where you see all these people, they're crying, whatever. And then you have one guy or girl, like, smiling up like they're fucking, you know, they're taking their headshots at the fucking Fancy Prince or something, whatever they used to call those places in the
Fancy
mall.
Prince.
Fancy Prince. But it's also the best thing I'll tell you. He's looking at these pictures, and it's kind of like morphing Batman onto another picture he's looking at. And that looks like
reflection.
That looks like my dad. I'm telling you, if my dad put on a half cowl, that's his big fat face. But yeah, he's looking through it, and he's just like, listen, I'm not going to let you tell the story. I'm going to tell the story.
I'm telling you, this one thing, where the panel before he's looking, and it looks like Alan Grant there. Alan Grant. I keep saying Grant for some reason. Alan Wayne. Is the picture before that, is that of that John Doe, the trainer?
Because, it might be,
like,
yeah.
It
does
seems
look
like
it.
Like, it didn't seem like he previously died in the labyrinth. You know, it seemed like he died in his freaking, like, his apartment.
Yeah,
so it's weird. Like, was he moved then? And then
or is it that it's just every victim? But they do kind of push it as the labyrinth.
Labyrinth,
and Batman does look at it. And that seems to be like a, now he's starting to, you know, get the clues together. But yeah, you even see the one that looks like it's Alan. But yeah, he then smashes the camera and just goes back in the labyrinth. And I guess you're supposed to think at this point, like, most people just go insane in this room, maybe, or just, he's going to go back. And when he goes back, you realize at this point that water probably was drugged.
Damn
plus
drugs
the fact,
are affecting
plus
the shit
plus
out of
the
him.
The fact of the matter is, he's been down there for a bit now, and he's isolated. He's playing things through his mind. He's going insane. The drugs are obviously helping, because he thinks he sees a
he's
bunch
seeing
of
Court
owls.
Of the Owls family
the
and
owls,
shit
yeah.
like that.
And he goes to attack them, and they're not there. And now he just falls over, and that's where the first thing in this, in the labyrinth, you see the Talon is also kind of watching him and following him. But this maze is crazy. Now, this is where you go.
Now, I'm telling you, too, because, you know, as this is progressing, we see when he first breaks the camera when he's about to leave the freaking that room with all the photographs and shit like that.
Yeah.
And even when he's on the ground here looking at the floor and shit like that, you see this progression that we finally get to by the time we conclude with the whole labyrinth thing, where he is studying each and everything, even though he's losing his mind. He is putting the clues together to fucking make his escape, fucking Mr. Miracle style.
Yeah. And the thing about this is then, this is where craziness happens in the trade, and especially digitally. It's tough digitally, because what happens is Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo wanted to do a thing where this is where, and we see he's going insane, drugged out, insane.
He turned Batman's world upside down.
So what they did was they ended up having the pages turn in odd ways. So you either have to, now what they wanted you to do, and I did read about this, and then remembered some things. They wanted you to have to, like, tilt your neck. They really seem to stress, do not turn the page. Just sit there, because what happens is the pages start rotating. From this on, they're rotating kind of in a circle. But they seem to want you to try to read stuff on the side, upside down.
But I can't see, Jimmy boy.
Nobody's going to do that. But the problem is, not the problem, but when I said to you, because I'm reading this digitally that we got for this, and I'm like, hey, did your, you know, issue 5, because this would have been issue 5, did it go wonky? And you're like, no, I'm reading it on my trade that I got, and that's how it was. And then I'm
reading this fucking book right to left at this point.
Yeah, and I remember the whole deal is I remember Scott Snyder having an interview and fighting DC to let him do this and say, please trust me. And I mean, it does have to be a big trust, because what happened is they were very concerned that people were going to try to return the comics, saying, oh, you fucked up. I'm shocked that they didn't have any way to kind of show you this. You know what I mean? With like arrows or something. But they really fought to do this because, yeah, you would have thought that when they printed the comic, they accidentally had pages put in, you know, different.
Yeah.
And even if they would have had a narration part at the top or bottom that showed you that it was supposed to be like that, like something of a basis, you know what I mean? But they didn't. And they went. And it threw me off just now, you know, reading it. Now I'm trying to fucking rotate it and shit. And then the problem is digitally, you start rotating stuff and then you don't even get the scroll right. It's nonsense. but he ends up in this model city of Gotham that does come into place every later, and he's saying to himself as this is happening, you know what, I know this city, I know every rooftop, I know all these things, I know what happens in the city, this is my city. The other thing that he sees, names, and all these names are written on the wall, and you know, he doesn't even know, he's like, this could have been the people that were part of it, killed, whatever, but they do show, and it's a pretty cool way, you see a Gordon, you see a Cobblepot, yeah, you see,
I'm saying, the one thing, and they're like, it's going to say William, I don't know if it's going to be William Cobb there,
yeah,
or whatever.
I thought maybe it was William Cobb myself, that comes into play later, but yeah, they're there, and again, maybe, and this I don't think, because we go from here, and this is basically the Gotham City room, and the whole deal, and it's very big on symbolism too, of Batman being, you know, he's almost like Godzilla in this room already.
Yeah, he's freaking like over top the entire city,
and it's almost like a thing, like, you want to think that Scott Snyder's showing, like, Batman's there, and, like, you think you're bigger than the city? Like, you're walking through this miniature city. You think you're so big. Look at all the names around here. These people thought they were big, too. Or you don't know, but it is. Everything is designed to make you feel insignificant, you know, against the Court of the Owls.
Right.
I think it's played out well. Unfortunately, Batman, because we go back to him not even wanting to acknowledge the Court of the Owls. I think that that's another thing of where you get the idea that this stuff does not affect Batman like this. You know what I mean? These other people that had their pictures taken and went insane, the one thing they weren't
fucked up like Batman was.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's already damaged so much, and he is a badass. And Scott Snyder does it so well of making him a badass. But then he goes in the next room is the Talon room. And again, it's very symbolistic, because this isn't something to me that's very functioning, like, you know, it's not utilitarian or whatever, because basically you see all these coffins with the little kids on there. This is more for somebody to see and realize, you know what, you're going to get fucked with, and we fuck with everyone. We've gotten kids. Also, I think it's supposed to be something where, just in the background, it's kind of what Batman does. He gets kids and turns them into warriors, and that's what they have done, and he's trying to figure it out, because there's a big Talon thing on the side of the wall, and then these coffins, and then there's one open, and that's the thing that I said. It's not like they just walk into this room, grab a Talon out of a thing, and then just leave it open. It's all supposed to be like, look at all of these things here. You have one that has kicked your ass. There's still all of these left. They're still going. The only thing that I wish we had here, if in fact these are legitimately the coffins, I actually wish that Batman would have had his breath kind of show that it was cold in here. I thought that would have been a cool touch of what we come later.
I'm telling you, I'm a little like, I was a little lost in this whole thing where, you know, Batman is in the Talon Room full of coffins and he goes to the open one and the whole narration, he's like, what does it mean that? And then no, and then takes off. I'm like, is that the point where he realizes that it's friggin', you know, William Cobb?
That's
like,
what
this
I'm
is
saying.
Italian word Cobb.
You
is that
see
it's
that
Dick Grayson's great grandfather?
Yeah. And you see that picture there, and you don't ever, like, it doesn't look like there's names, but maybe inside there was, and this
I don't know,
where...
it's just a weird progression for me, because I didn't really get what, like, understand what they were trying to get out with this. I know in the long run, you know, who the Talon is
out
there, but
one's open,
just
one's
from
missing.
Here, I don't understand how Batman would
understand.
Batman
says,
that.
What does it mean that, no, stop it, Bruce, I'm not listening. And again, it seems like this is, you know, in his head, the Bruce Wayne normal guy is starting to talk to Batman. And like, even if it's one of those where it's like, we said that it's, what does this mean that no? And it's like, this is what you do. Like Bruce is inside, like, this is what you did. This is what you did with Damian. This is what you did with Dick and Tim and Jason.
Jason, yeah.
I don't know. But like you said, it is odd that he sees this one coffin, doesn't even look anymore. He sees and looks, no, he runs off. It's just a little off. And that, yeah. And he says, I'm not listening, not listening, not listening as he goes through this next room. That it's basically nothing much happening there. It's just a ship, the front of a ship with an owl, and he fucking punches it and all that.
That's a weird
again,
room.
Again, though, then he goes, another picture taken of him as he goes into the room of more pictures. It's that same room again. They've taken another
picture
of him.
Camera's set back up where it was before.
Yeah, everything's back. And it's, you know, he says, you're the star of the story. It's your story, not theirs. Come on, it's your city. It's not their city. And he's just trying to convince himself. And he looks, as he goes by this camera, he doesn't even smash it this time, but he looks at it. And you're wondering, is this the point where he grabs the filament?
Because I think this is the point. I think he might have grabbed the filament when he broke it the first time. This is the point where he realized that the camera's been slightly moved from where it was before.
Yeah, and I think that he realizes, you know, and it's there, and he kind of sees. But yeah, he goes, and then this is more of him being insane. He's in another little, you know, hallway thing. There's eggs smashing, which actually goes back, and if you remember back when he shot that owl in his attic.
In his attic, yeah.
Yeah,
the eggs
it was the same kind
smashed.
Of thing. Eggs were smashing, so it's like one of those things that in his mind, he's insane right now.
And
he's
I'm telling you, this thing, I love Greg Capullo's art, you know, and this whole thing, and this is one part here of the way the panel progression worked for me that I couldn't quite tell looking at my trade what exactly was going on here, though, because at first I thought that Batman thought he was going insane and realized it's the drinking water. And at first, instead of the cracking of the eggs and the breaking and shit like that, I thought he had fucking gone over to vomit up to all the goddamn water
he
had
drank. Forcing himself to vomit. Yeah, it's just eggs. And he sees people at the end of the hallway. It ends up being his parents. And he's so happy. It's the craziest
and like
look.
That.
And old and blind. Yeah. Because they even say, we can't see you. We've been down here so long. And again, this is where it shifts again. The page shifts again to be, you know, the next round of, you know, the rotation. And it does seem like now it's like pretty much his world has been turned upside down. He thinks that his parents are alive. It ends up being that they're not. And then in a gruesome deal, they basically turn into owls and start ripping them apart.
Not even that. It's fucking, you know, they're so happy to see him. And their fucking mouths becoming elongated.
And owls rip out of their mouths and then attack him.
Like, oh, God.
It's so disgusting. And they rip him. But again, this is just more of the progression. And then right from there, it shifts again, Eric. And it's killing me. It's killing me. But yeah, we go from there, and I'm telling you,
you know,
as you're reading
I didn't know what you meant before, but now I'm fucking trying to scroll through this,
and
I can't.
And then the problem is, if you're reading it digitally the way my reader is, now you can't even scroll down. No. You have to scroll up, and then you start at the bottom of the fucking page. It's so
driving
crazy.
Me insane now,
yeah,
too, just
this
like
is what
Batman.
I said. I was it was, and I'm telling you, if they were playing off the whole thing on the printed page to make you know what's going on, digitally, they are making you go insane.
Exactly.
Like, you really are. You're angry.
I read the trade earlier. I'm like, okay, I get it. Batman's world has been turned upside down.
I actually think
now I'm being driven crazy.
Yeah, I think that they're actually playing with the fact that if you're reading it digitally, you are angry and you're going insane. Because, yeah, he ends up in the fountain room again. And this is where he's like, he can't, it's almost like he can't take it anymore. And he starts clawing at the ground, and he realizes he opens up a little passage that he drops through and ends up then back in the, I believe, see, I'm telling you, I'm having problems here, because then he ends up in the picture room again, and he's just yelling, "I'm not listening, I'm not listening." And as this is going on, it's one of the great things. I love when they do this in comics. And even then, he sees that his picture is on the wall, and he's getting fucking bat claws. He is going completely bonkers at this point. And I do like it when they do a out-of-focus thing from behind, and when he's yelling, I'm not listening to you, and he's yelling to the court themselves, everything behind him is blurred out, and you see that Talon making his way towards him, which is crazy, and basically then guts him. You know what? He just runs a knife right through him, where you do see again where Bruce is there and his hands have turned into freaking like bat claws, furry fucking bat claws. This is disgusting.
And I'm telling you, I remember like, you know, when I wasn't in the New 52 right away when it began, but I was always at the comic book shop because a buddy of mine owned it. And I was always hanging out and shit like that. And I wanted to keep up with what was going on, even if I wasn't reading it. Yeah. And I remember going through the freaking comic shelves each freaking month, and I'm like, I'd look at the Batman covers, and as it, from this point on, they become crazier and crazier. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with Batman?
You might have thought that he became a bat.
And at one point, I thought he became an owl monster.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point, the comic actually then goes back to regular, up and down, normal,
because we go back out.
Yeah, we go to Gordon, and the symbol, the signal, Siggy, actually does blow. It blows up, and they're there. And they're wondering what they should do with it. And then from off panel, you see, get a new one. And now, I said now, and it's Damien. Damien has shown up.
And then he now, said, get... please.
Yeah, it's so crazy because he's so mad. But then when he gets up to Gordon, he looks up to him and says, now, please. And I like the end, which is very non, you know, it's like just a next, the court. And you see like a nondescript type of deal. And it's Gordon standing there with his arm around Damien. And, you know, they're both.
I really like that scene.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's really, really great. And really shows you that it's not just Batman in this labyrinth doing things. There are people, including his young son, who, you know, is very worried about him. But yeah, we go then, and you do see him, that the Talon then is basically, he's Batman's dying. He's really, and the Talon is talking a lot of trash. Yeah, he has a blade. And also, I mean, he's been down there. He's drugged. He looks a wreck. But says, you know what? There's only a couple times this has happened, but you have been such a great foe that we're going to keep your bones. We're going to display them here because you're just so
great.
Thank
you.
And yeah, and it's weird because it's also, to me, it also throws a little shade at Alan Wayne because they just dumped his ass body, you know, his old ass body.
Alan Wayne was a crazy old rambling man. He didn't deserve his bones displayed in the fucking labyrinth.
Yep. And actually, if you want to go here, I believe this is where he finds the filaments. They're on the ground. If that's
those are. After the Talon bashes him in the head with the camera.
Yeah, he bashes him in the head with the camera. He says, hey, you moved the camera. And then he bashes him. He has these things. And the Talon is just talking trash. He's just talking complete trash. And as Batman seems to be to the point of pretty much blacking out, he looks up, and again, out of focus, you see those fucking owl masks. And I'm telling you, those owl masks, and you have one. You got one with the
shade. I sure do. It's so good
because it's almost like a, you know, a Michael Myers deal that I love, where you have these killers with such emotionless things. They're just there with these masks that show no
emotions. And I'm telling you, the freaking way that Greg Capullo draws the whole, you know, you see it through the eyes of a drugged up Batman who sees these fucking, like, these faceless masks that, like, you know, like, have the slightest little similarity to an owl. But when he sees the owls as an entirety of the fucking face. And then it starts going back and forth between the mask and what, like, you know, the forming of an owl.
Because even then, I do believe some of this and a lot of this, as we see going forward, is through a Batman's type perspective. Because even the owls themselves, they have like owl hands and arms and stuff like that. Because that's where the Talon lifts him over his head and says, you know, how do you wish Batman to die? And they're yelling,
are you not entertained?
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Break his neck, no, bleed him, take his feet. And that's, like you said, all of a sudden with Batman looking up, they morph into owl faces and back and forth, and it's so fucked up because they're there. All these people are there, the owls, and they're like, let the littlest decide. And I'm telling you, it's like, yes, let her choose. What do you want to see, dear? And this little girl's there, and again, he sees her as almost like an owl with a
crazy deal. She's not entertained enough. She wants more.
She says hurt him more. I'm like, God damn it, they are fucked up. And like, my pleasure, m'lady. And the Talon throws Batman right into the fucking
wall.
I'm
telling you, it's almost like
put those pictures up again.
It's almost like a socialite freaking Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the way the family plays off in those movies for how fucked up these people are.
Yeah, they're fucked up. They're so fucked up that the littlest one just wants to see more pain. And Batman, pretty much, Talon pretty much should have killed him here. I mean, he goes to town.
Oh, this is very reminiscent of that Bane fight from the
bridge
you were talking about, that of Iron Bane.
And I said the whole thing about that is I do think that Tom King in the Iron Bane was playing off this a little bit, because Batman at a point kind of seems to have given up. He knows he's going to die. He's sitting there thinking. He knows that blood's going – I like the term. Blood's going into the wrong places.
Exactly.
You don't have to get scientific or use any sort of doctor talk. You just say that. But at this point, the Talon pretty much thinks that Batman's done, tells the owls, come on, let's rip his flesh from his fucking body. And again, it's like – God damn it, they are fucking awful. Well, as Batman's laying there and they're the owls are, going around him, he looks and he sees the picture of Alan Wayne. He sees the picture of his great-great-grandfather, and he's sad. He looks
and
upset.
And I'm telling you, I love the progression of panels here, because he has all of these owls around him pulling at his flesh and his face and shit like that, and he is just motionless on the ground. His eyes are just going back and forth as he looks at the picture of Alan Wayne.
Even
and then
the
that
point
te-
where it looks like he's crying.
Yeah. Exactly. That tear falls from his freaking eye, and he's just looking back and forth, and this is the point where he realizes he has to do something. I'm like, this really plays out very cinematically, and I dig it.
It plays very cinematically, and again, we always end up tying it into other things. This also reminds me of the thing where Bruce was talking to his mom at the end of I Am Suicide and I Am I Am Bane. Like we said,
the talk
with his mom about, no, I'm not doing this for your event. Like, this is him, and he does have a purpose. He does need a purpose, and the purpose is he sees his great-great-grandfather through that picture begging for someone not just to help, but for someone to stop this fucking madness that the Court of the Owls is. And he just gets up and yells enough. And in this panel, it's like, it's so stylistic that he's this huge goddamn
giant
monster.
Batman monster.
And again, that's what he probably feels like he has to be at this point. Plus the owls, they scatter, they're pussies. They run off. Oh my God, take care of him. He's alive.
He's not dead.
Yeah. And then you have the Talon. It made me laugh when I was reading this, because it's something that me and you do when we see each other. Like, well, 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 looky here. Because he's like, oh, you still got to fight. And he seems so confident. That he does, and look at you, and he's going to do it, and that's where he starts
talking. It's
great,
too, because, they do have this thing where he is this Batman monster at this point, but every other panel goes back and forth, so you see it's not a real thing, that he has not become a goddamn vampire.
Yeah, like I said, I do believe that.
It is just like this force of his mind making him become this thing to fight this monster.
He has to be this to do this, and also he's drugged up, he's fucking high as a kite. But yeah, they say, and the Talon starts talking about the owls, and we had said they really had pushed this, and I think it came down to this too, is that all that time, Bruce didn't want to hear that rhyme, didn't want to hear anything more about it. We have not had that since, really. We hadn't had a lot about the rhyme. He did talk about it to Dick a little, but the Talon's like starts talking about the owls and whatever, and Bruce just says, you know what? I am sick.
Do you know
to
what
death
owls do to
owls.
Their prey? Yeah.
And he's like, I am sick to death of owls, and just
and
fucking
just start beating
up
the shit out of the Talon.
This is where I think where if Tom King was playing off this type of scene in the I Am Bane, basically you had Bane beating the shit out of Batman that whole time, and then what are you? I'm Batman, headbutt done. It's not done here. I mean, this is a brutal battle. This is still like Batman may think that he's had enough. He doesn't want to hear anything about owls anymore.
This has almost become Rocky at this
point. This is
where he's
not
coming
an easy
back,
battle.
And freaking in, like, he's still taking blows though the whole time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's taking blows. They're beating the shit out of each other. They end up going through the rooms they were before. They were already in the picture room. Now they're in the Gotham City
miniature model
room.
And
this is where Batman's turning the whole deal. Before, when he went in there, he kept saying like, oh no, they're trying to tell me that I'm, now he's telling them. And he's like, you see this? The city at your feet? It's not the real Gotham. This is an arts and crafts project. It's nothing. And you know what else is nothing?
Your fucking clown shoes.
You're a piece of shit. You and your clown shoes. He's like, you're a common criminal that does what they fucking want. You're nothing. And at this point, The Talon even doesn't want to hear it. He starts screaming like he doesn't want to, because really this happens later in the actual Talon book, you know, that goes from here. With Calvin Rose. Calvin Rose's struggle, a lot of it is, you know, why is he following orders? Why is he part of this? And I like that the Talons are, in fact, whether or not they're immortal because they can bring them back, they still are people inside. They've just been driven insane to do what they have to do there for the Court of the Owls. But yeah, it starts to affect them. And
on top of this whole thing, it's an amazing scene that just shows like this town and Batman fighting and destroying the city kaiju monster style.
Yeah,
and I love
like
that.
It's like kaiju monsters fighting, and it's so good. And yeah, pretty much Batman takes care of the Talon and then just starts talking shit on the owls, and basically shows that, number one, you might put him in a labyrinth that you think is fucking solid. There is nothing. He has figured out a way to get out of this that is from what they had, because we said he had the potassium chloride the camera deal, and he's going to use that. Plus, the marble is not hard marble; it's soft, you know, ornamental, marble. So he knows if he can cause an explosion, he's going to get the fuck out. That's how he's going to get out. But I like that he has turned the tables on the owls and basically saying, "I'm going to get out, and I'm going to use what you gave me because you guys don't think things through as well as me. I'm better than you, and I'm going to get the fuck out." And he does blow a hole, and then just crawls to it and jumps down.
And
he even says also, he says that he noticed when he drank the water that it was also the water from the Gotham River. So that was the other big thing. So he knows that underneath this fountain there must be the river. It'll lead him out. Also, he knows in his mind that also leads him to the Batcave as well. And it is badass detective work. But yeah, that's how you get to the Batcave too. So he blows a hole, jumps in, and all of a sudden I was confused because I didn't remember or realize that it was winter. And when he goes in, I thought
he was
still fucked up.
I had no idea that it was winter when we began this story. I don't know if we're playing off the whole, like, the month progression of the story as it goes.
Yeah, I don't know, because even when you saw the signal, you didn't see, when you go to, you know, Harvey and Gordon, you didn't see a lot of anything telling me that it was winter, because he goes down like a waterfall.
Harvey's always wearing that big-ass jacket.
Yeah, really, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like me. I'm always wearing those sweatshirts and stuff. People always say something.
And shorts. Actually, looking at you, I would have no idea what the season is because it's a sweatshirt and shorts.
I actually explained it to somebody this week. I said I tend to have my attire always throws people, and this is not my intention. I don't like to talk about people, but they'll yell at me about the shorts in the winter and then about the sweatshirt or the sweater in the summer.
The hoodie, so
I'm always keeping them off guard, Eric. It's what I do. But yeah, Batman goes down. He goes off like a little waterfall into what we don't even know. He goes into water. All of a sudden, above him is ice.
At first I thought we were still in the labyrinth.
Yeah, I thought we were in the labyrinth too, because what ends up happening that we find out is the Talons, the way to kind of stop them, we find out in the next part, is you make it cold. You have the coldness that will stop them. And I thought, and knowing that, reading this again, thought, oh, is this like maybe he fell into like a place where they store the Talons? Because at the point you did have that room with all the coffins.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, oh, that's ornamental. Yeah, that's not where they are. They're down here in the meat locker. But no, it ends up just that he was under the ice. Now, really, a lot of this isn't explained further, because at this point, he should be dead, Eric. There should be no way that he survives. The only thing that you can say
to yourself,
there's
no way that Harper Row goes and gets him either.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that you can say in this, really, you go to that hokey, he's Batman, because I don't know how he survives, except, you know, he gets pulled out by Harper. But why was she there, and what was she doing?
I have no idea.
Whatever.
How did she know that somebody was underneath the goddamn ice?
I don't know. But at this point, he's dying. He legitimately is dying, because he even says in the narration is, when you're dying, you see visions. You see visions of what your life might have been. You see symbolism, and it's supposed to be, you know, the big deal of it was to let somebody have comfort, let them know what their life would have been or whatever. The problem is, this is very fucked up vision that he sees. Basically sees that it became the bat. You know, you have that classic, yes, father, I shall become a bat. But then as the bat goes, it's attacked by an owl and pretty much killed. And I'm like, oh, you know, he knows in his mind that, and it says that's the constituted secret truth about his life is revealed and all this about the, you know, the whole thing about it. But as this is going on, the owl is eating the bat. It looks up, and I don't know if this is also to mean that Batman realizes that what he was before, he's still Batman, obviously, but he's got to change his game a bit. I don't know, but it really does show that he thinks that the owls are pretty fucking tough customers.
Well, that whole thing, you know, like he sees the bat breakthrough, even though this kind of gets retconned when we get to Zero Year and the revised fucking origin of Batman. But the bat comes through and the freaking, you know, he sees it goes back out and the owl eats it. It's the whole thing like, I shall become a bat. So while he's deciding he's going to become this thing that's larger than life symbol, the owls are still going to be over top of him waiting to fucking swoop down and take him out.
Swoop down and take him. And even at the point where it's ripping apart the bat and then it's got the bloody meat and just like looks up at him. And and right after that it says, some truths were comforting, some were heart shattering. And that's where you see that owl eating it. And then you get close to the eyes. He says, a vision of himself as he truly was reflected in the burning eyes of his God. And you get the idea that, as he's dying, he's like, I was defeated by them. I lost. Now, again, at least he lost on his own terms at this point. I would think that he'd be at least satisfied that he got out of that labyrinth. They aren't going to be – they're not going to have his bones, they, you know, all this stuff. But he's going to die. Harper saves him. Harper Row, who Dancing Mike hates so much, is the only reason that Batman is alive. Now, later on in the series, he will really thank her by punching her right in the face. Eric, I can't wait till we get to that part when he punches
her. That's the weird part, too, because I remember that. We talk a lot about this whole thing, but this progression here where, you know,
you saw her. That's the thing. You saw her in the first issue. And okay. And he said to stop, like, get away. And it's just a – this is considered her first full appearance.
Right.
She was in that issue number one. It threw me off too because he's like, I told you before. You know what I mean? That when he sees her.
And I'm like, you know, did that take place in another series? Like, what am I missing here? It's such a weird thing.
It was the issue one, but I don't even think we talked about it.
I don't think so either. That's where you just saw her. We like to talk about Harper Row and the progression of her character throughout the Batman series. But like –
I love Harper, but she puts the nipple clamps on the fucking shocks by the nipples.
Battery.
And the thing is, too, it's like, okay, we get it. His heart failed or what. He's also got internal bleeding. There's a lot of shit wrong with him. But she saves him. She's in this van. This is where I said it was hard to get a grip on exactly what she did and how old she was, because here it looks like she has a job. She's out driving in a van and stuff like that. But you also get the idea that when she does come back, she's a fangirl of Batman. And now has saved him. Says, like, nice one, Harper. Epic bat fail. And he goes off, and that's where I'm like, God damn it. Until this point, I still didn't understand the ice. And then he gets out of here. Oh, I almost knocked my mic over. He gets out of here, and it is just freaking just snow and all this crazy deal going. But in the meantime, I don't think we mentioned at the end of the last bit.
I just pasted the first issue. As you were talking there, I picked up my trade and I was looking through. I did not see Harper anywhere in that first issue.
She's somewhere in that, because I actually went and I looked up and they do list her as being in there. We'll have to look. We'll have to see what the deal is and go through fully. Now, we didn't mention right before this scene, you did have the Court of the Owls go down to that Talon and basically say, you know, hey, what should we do with them? Should we, you know, revive them? Should we get them back into, you know, what would be stasis and do this? And this old lady, owl, seems to be the one in charge, basically says, no, get rid of him.
His wounds will heal, but he'll never recover
from that fight. And just really mentally. At this point, the whole thing to me even shows then that this lady, she's not talking about like whenever. They have one purpose now, and that purpose is to kill Batman. That is only the purpose, and somebody who has failed and died to him is no use to them. Like he'll think, he'll be scared, whatever, and they get rid of him. Now, seems like they just dump him in the river.
That's the weirdest part, I'm telling you. For this clandestine goddamn secret society of things who wants to remain in the shadows for hundreds of years, throwing a Talon's body in the river is not a fucking good best case scenario for him.
Even worse, because as you go, because what happens is Bruce then crawls his way to the Batcave, where you go and there's Alfred there with a shotgun. Yeah, identify yourself, it's me. They bring him in, and as he goes in, the first thing he sees is the Talon's body. And Alfred says, we discovered his body in the frozen water near the spot we detected the short beacon from your suit. I get the idea they just kicked him down the hole Batman made. It's not even even like they took him to where they normally would or whatever. It seems like they're like, well, Batman fell down there. Didn't even go to, you know, find out if Batman was alive.
It's just a weird thing, though, because you have this talent who is in costume, but that's not even a thing. You could just say that's
crazy,
anything.
Though, too.
And if anybody got a hold of this body like Batman does, and they saw this fucking rejuvenated fucking body that's full of this goddamn thing that keeps somebody alive and brings them back from the dead, there are some questions that got to be answered at this point.
Because as it goes on, it pretty much gives Batman the solution to how you stop them. You have to get them.
You done
in
fucked up,
Courtney
House.
Yeah, you really gave Batman the reason.
Everything.
You know, basically the way to defeat these things is to get them cold. Yeah, I do like it though, where it is like a Terminator 2, where Batman goes into the cave and then
it's like Sarah Connor.
Yeah, it's like Sarah Connor seeing fucking Arnold.
No!
He goes and sees, and it's almost that progression as he's about to fall down.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, that's one of my favorite reactionary scenes in all of movies.
Oh, that was
when
a great
scene.
She
does that. Oh, it's so good. But yeah, he wants to know
everything slow. Goes down at that point.
So good, yeah. So at this point, he sees this. He Alfred should be drugging him as we speak. Should be
Seriously.
Putting a needle in his neck, and he's like, "Oh, that's a talent. Okay, get him on the table." And this is a guy who just had said before he fell into that water that
he
had blood in the wrong places. Like something should be done, but we're just gonna go. It's Batman being a badass. You then
he's
see
got
that
work
the court,
to do.
Yeah, you see the Court of the Owls reviving one of the talons at this point, and basically showing them the video of Batman going through that miniature city and destroying things, and like showing them like, hey, here's what you're going to be fighting. You know, you get that whole thing. It's like the scene where you have the guy in the chair and his eyes are kept open and he's looking at all the banks of the videos.
Getting brainwashed.
Brainwashing him and making him hate the Batman. So you're going there, they're training, and then you go back to the cave, and that's where Batman has William Cobb there, which is the town. And it's funny, once you realize, because it turns about that it is Dick's
great-great-grandfather.
I think it's just great.
Okay.
I think they spell out great. But the thing is, didn't it make you laugh? Because it does look like the Bloodhaven Nightwing with the long hair a bit. It just made me laugh that he gave him that. But
he looks
like
a fancy boy to me.
Yeah, he does.
A dandy.
He's old. But Dick's like, hey, what's going on? I know you want privacy. I want to know what's going. And Bruce is just keeping to himself. He wants to see. Now he is telling him, like, hey, look. Wait. He figures all the things about the talents. Like you said, the way that you said that the Court of the Owls fucked up, because now he has one. He knows everything about them.
He knows
the
electrum in the system that freaking does all this shit.
Yeah, he knows all of these things. And it gets a little hokey, the whole description about how in antiquity they used in ancient Greece, they used the coins, and that was electrum and all that stuff. But it's pretty cool. But it leads to him showing them that he had a tooth, like the guy before. They had the tooth.
And that's the whole thing. The electrum, then, like, it's pumped into their body, and it goes through every cell and everything. Blood and the tooth with the false tooth that has the owl symbol on it, that electrifies, causing them to freaking rejuvenate and shit like that.
And
that is the conductor to allow the electrum to do what it does in the body.
Yep. And at this point, when you realize that as this is going on, Dick has come down here not just to see how Bruce is. He's kind of ticked off at him too, because he's not talking to anybody. He's doing things.
Well, he's been gone for fucking days.
Yeah, he's been gone, and then he came back and is just in the Batcave telling Alfred, "Don't let anybody in." But in the meantime, he does say,
"Talk to Damian yet?"
Yeah, and he does say the whole thing. He's like, "Listen, I went through this," and he says the cold. This is when Dick says, "You know, how do you take these things down?" And he's like, the cold, the compound turns the body into a kind of heat-powered factory. If you get it cold, it shuts down. So that's why I said the League of or the Court of the Owls fucked up, because now he knows
what to
do.
They gave him everything.
But that's when Dick says, do you have a name for this guy yet? And he's like, yep, his name's Cobb, William Cobb, and he's your great-grandfather. And I'm telling you, that is a great cliffhanger in the middle of an issue, because you're like, holy shit. Now, this one thing will lead into a lot of things, obviously, in the Batman book, but it also really dominates the Nightwing solo book as well.
Sure does.
This really, you know, gives that book direction going from here, and then even plays around when the Talon book, like that little bit, it's huge. And this is where Dick says, you know what, weren't you going to tell me? Because he came down. Bruce did not tell him to come down. So he's like, you have my great-grandfather here, you know, who happened to be a Talon, and you weren't going to tell me I had to come down. And he's like, this is bullshit. He's really mad. And he's like, you know, what's going on here? You're building walls. And again, this is another scene that plays out throughout the first part, up until Zero Year, really dominates Death the Batman of the book. Yeah, up until Death of the Family, and through that, that's when it comes to a head. The whole thing is, especially Dick being mad, but the whole Bat family's mad at Batman for keeping secrets, not telling them things, not talking to them, and they're really mad. And also, if you do read the Nightwing series, this scene actually is replayed in issue 7.
Isn't it in that series? Because we find out that, you know, the Talons have been, the Court of the Owls have been using Haley Circus as a freaking marketplace,
pretty much. They say it here. They say that Haley Circus.
In the Nightwing book, though, isn't it that because, you know, Dick's parents died and Bruce adopted him, he was off the market and his best friend became a Talon?
Yeah, his best friend became a Talon, but he wasn't good enough. There was some crazy shit, and that ends up being the big villain, spoiler alert, of, like, pretty much the first two trades of Nightwing, because this kid that was his friend in the circus that disappeared, he ended up, you know, the Court of the Owls grabbed him and tried to force him because Dick was supposed to be the next Talon. He was supposed to be it. But what, and Bruce explains it, you know, you were the line. The circus was where they'd get these acrobatic kids and take them and train them as Talons. And in this, but the funny thing about this is this is where Dick's like yelling at Batman. He's like, you have no idea what I've been through these last few weeks. And even says at points, like, you know what? Just because this is this mind-shattering thing about my – it doesn't change the fact I'm pissed at you. You motherfucker. You're not telling us stuff. This is nonsense. And then he says, if you think it's going to phase me –
Also, the whole thing, too, it's almost like, you know, I choose who I am. Nobody else does. Yeah, like, everything that I am is not fucking, you know, predestined because of a goddamn –
because this is what leads to it. Dick is screaming at Bruce, and Bruce fucking backhand fist to the fucking face.
And goddamn it's like, precise.
Again, it looks like it's just him pissed and punching Dick. In fact, he knocked out his molar. And I'm telling you, to knock out a molar with a fist, that's precise, just to knock out that white molar he needs to. Yeah, and he picks up the molar off the ground and then shows Dick, look. And then that's where Dick stops, and he's like, I was supposed to be a Talon. And he's like, yep. And that's where they go into, hey, Haley Circus, they were using the acrobats and all these things. Everybody was going. It was basically the training grounds for the Talons and the Court of the Owls. And the weird thing about it is that throws in a lot of things that you have to wonder. And they do deal with some of this in the Nightwing book about, did his parents know? Were they duped into being there? I mean, it does throw a lot of things in there, and also why his parents died and things like that.
Right.
But when Dick's parents did get killed, Bruce was there to adopt them. And out of no, you know, obviously he didn't think the Court of the Owls anything.
No, that went against the court's plan.
It was just such a lucky thing. The only thing that I wondered is, I think that at this point they want to have it that Dick is the, you know, was supposed to be a Talon. You have to get out the fucking activation thing. Because, and in this point, are we supposed to think that? Because they said that the tooth is what lets the shit drain into the body over time. Are we supposed to think then that Dick is supposed to be fucking immortal? And they
see, I don't think so. Because the way I think it has to be done to you, and then the freaking tooth is the thing that activates
But they said that the tooth also let the electrum seep into the body. He says it earlier, and I was like, I don't know what's going on there, but obviously he's not, you know, that isn't the case.
Nothing ever comes from that.
I do think that it's also not just to show you that, but they also thought ahead and thought, okay, if we need something that really proves it, but also you can't have that tooth in them that they can just hit a button. Whether or not it activates anything, it would end up, you know, an electrified thing in his mouth or shit. So they get it out. Dick's kind of taken aback and like, you took me in, you saved me from that. And that's where Bruce said, you know, when I was on patrol, and it's a big thing, this goes back to what the city is to Batman. And he said, I thought that the city was looking over me. I thought that it was like a partner, a family. I thought that it was with me.
A guardian angel. Now I realize
it was just looking and looking at me, not with me. It's not my city, you know, and it's crazy. Because even then before, and then Dick says, he said before, the city isn't just you. It's not, you know, it's not the Owls. He says it there. He says, listen, and I love this too, because Batman at this point, he's down. You know what I mean? He seems
very depressed.
He underestimated the court of the owls, a goddamn blowout. And also just underestimated the city. To him, the city was him, and the city were the Waynes and the goodness. And he was there to fight to make sure that people remembered that, and the city was with him. And now it's basically his big thing has stabbed him in the back, really. And I mean, the Talon did legitimately stab him in the back. So it shows. And Dick's there to say, you know what? Fuck this. And I'm telling you, this is probably the strongest moment of Dick Grayson, and it has to be in the top five, for him to say, you know what? I don't give a shit about the you know, we fight criminals all the time and stuff. I don't care if my ancestor was a Talon and I was supposed to be. I'm who I choose to be. They can't tell me shit. I'm going to be good. I don't care what role they think I should
play.
They're
just another bad guy. And he's been around a bit longer.
And that's what he says. The Court of the Owls is just another bad guy, Bruce. They're a little grayer around the temples is all. And that's a cool thing to show, like him saying they're old. Yeah. But he says, yes, you made a mistake and underestimated them, but they're not Gotham City, Bruce. And neither are you. And I thought that was like, oh shit. And it basically, like, fuck this. You know, we're going to fight these motherfuckers. And don't fucking start talking about who's bigger or who's the city or whatever. They're bad guys. We fight the bad guys, and we're going to fight them.
And we win.
In the meantime, they go off to the Court of the Owls, and you realize they are fucked because you had this one town.
All of their talents.
Oh, my God. They had this one town that pretty much hit, you know, beat up Batman to the edge of death. Now they have everyone, and they all have been activated. And you get the idea that the one that we saw, they did this with every one of them. They're like, everyone is programmed to just kick the shit. And again, if you want to go Batman's point of view or as a fan of Batman as well, you realize they've never, ever done this. I mean, this is fucked up that Batman is that much of a threat. Now, I don't know why they even know he's still alive. Whether or not, they just assume, but the city, they are going to take back the city. They are coming out of their shadows a bit.
And even with that, not even just the Batman, but as we see from the, you know, the Night of the Owls, they have a lot of freaking, you know, targets they have to acquire and kill throughout this whole thing. And then also, all of the Bat Family books tie into this, where the fucking each individual Bat Family member has to go after a town as well to save whoever their target is.
And the thing about it is, very similar to the League of Shadows. Very similar to what we were told the League of Shadows would do. Like, you could tell me these Talons are just replaced the League of Shadows of those sleeper agents in Gotham that we're going to activate and all that stuff. But this, I think, plays out a lot better because, you know the Talons are bad. And you know Scott Snyder has made you realize that these things are a force to be reckoned with. They're fucking terrible and basically immortal if you go down to it. And he lets him out, this guy, this, you know, whatever, this head of the owls here. And he says, you know, come on, you're going to go this way. He's shuffling them all. It's funny. I just imagine them all walking. You have a couple guys like shoving each other like little kids fucking kicking each other in the butts. One guy has the kick me sign on him. But he's like, hey, come this way. Look, for tonight, we will not only kill our enemy, but we will take back our city. We will take back our kingdom. And obviously it's Gotham. And then he says, now go and take Gotham City. And they jump off this freaking, they're so high. They might be 84 floors up, Aaron. And they jump off. They jump off and just, you know, are gliding out to the city to just go. And then that's the end. It says next, attack on Wayne Manor. And it is a shame we're only doing these volumes because I'm like, oh my God, because I don't think that we're going to talk about this book now for a year and a half. And I want to. I really do want to because it's so good. But we made a way we're going to
talk
do
about
it
or not. I'm jumping back on this. Yeah, I'm seeing Night of the Owls because I can't be just left with that for a year and a half.
Yeah, I'm going to read it. And it's funny, too, because
I did read it years ago, but I want to get back on this goddamn Court of the Owls trial.
I'm telling
you,
reading it again now, I really have more of an appreciation of it from what we got later and what we're getting now and all that sort of thing. And even so, when you go back, and before I did read it individual issues, like I said, I might have read two and then 3 months later read some. And even then, when you were reading it just as regular issues coming out, it was every month. It was once a month. And I think reading them all in a row, you really get more of that symbolism. You get more of what's been hinted at and things like that. But I love it.
Month is a long time to wait in between
it
issues.
Now. I mean, especially now that we get things right away, we're getting spoiled. I loved it. It's as good, if not better, than when I first read it. I think that everybody who is a Batman fan has probably already read it anyway. But if you jump jumped in with Rebirth and you're liking what you get, or even if you're not liking what you get, go back to here, because this was Scott Snyder just coming out of the gate and really swinging, kicking ass. And yeah, if you want to do it though, I would suggest just buy the first two volumes right away.
Exactly. Buy them right away. You cannot be left with this whole thing. Like, fuck, now I got to go out and buy the next volume.
Like I said, you end up where now all the talents are activated going into Gotham City. It's like, oh shit, all this was set up and it was awesome. It was so good. It really sets up this huge battle. And yeah, like you said, the next trade is really Bat Family stuff, and it's really cool. But yeah, I think if I would give it a grade as a full trade of both episodes going, I think I'd be like 9 out of 10. I liked it that much. I think it was great. There's only a couple things that confuse me a little in that one issue, and I would wonder how Batman stays alive. But other than that, I think it's great. What would you give it?
Overall, I'm telling you, like, the Harper Row thing I thought was a weird thing just to throw in there. Like, Batman has this connection with her that we will not really see again for a long time at this point, it seems like. Like, having that there, like, I know the character now and I know the freaking backgrounds, but just having it thrown in here, like, all willy-nilly just felt like an odd choice. But, like, as both of our parts together, you know, like, 1 through 7, I think I'd give this whole trade about probably an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah. The only other thing I can think of, what they go later, much later, is that he was keeping an eye on Harper.
From Batman and Robin Eternal,
But that was so much down the line that you find that out. If that's a setup for that, phew-wee, that's crazy. Now, again, I laugh because I think it is in the next trade where he punches her in the face.
Right.
So crazy. But yeah, I really liked it. I'm glad that we got to do that pretty early. And now, next week or next episode, I'm not sure if it's going to be next week or 2 weeks as we usually plan. Probably would be kind of next week. But again, I could just imagine somebody listening to this 3 years from now and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But the next trade that we're going to talk about is Green Lantern Volume 1. And I can't even remember. What is it called?
Because I don't remember either.
I think it's called Sinestro. I have it on. I actually bought that trade. As we go, I try to buy the trades. But it is Volume 1 of the Green Lantern. You can tell me what it is. But that will be the next one. It is 6 issues, so we'll probably try to do that all in one episode. It's one of my favorites.
Sinestro.
I thought it was. And it is really good. I really, really enjoyed it. Now, this is me. I haven't reread it. So I only reread the first issue of it, and I really did like it. I'm wondering if it holds up or whatnot, but we're going to find out.
I hope it does. I'm telling you, Green Lantern Volume 1, when it came out, like individual issues, it really grabbed a hold of me. I'm like, you know what, this is why I love Green Lantern so much.
Just a little bit of a preview, it basically starts out with Sinestro as the Green Lantern and Hal not a lantern at all. And Sinestro goes to him for help, basically to stop being a Green Lantern so that Hal can become one again. And it does lead from Brightest Day. It's one of those where you have to remember.
And we pick back up, you know, even if this is Brightest Day, it's still the return of Black Hand as well.
Yes, yeah. And you have to remember that Green Lantern, like Batman, continued on in the New 52 with its continuity intact and them trying to play it into. But we'll see how that is, Eric. That'll be the next one. But I thank you for joining me this afternoon and talking a little Batman Volume 1, Court of the Owls. Do you have your mask on now? I wish we had a video podcast, too. You could have that mask on. I could just imagine you trying to smoke with that mask. It doesn't have a mouth.
There's no mouth hole, no.
You're like underneath, you're burning your chin and shit. It'd be funny.
Burning the mask up.
I would laugh. But
that white mask is now yellow for some reason.
Yeah, it's all yellow and fucking burned. Gross. Fucking disgusting. But yeah, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Join us next time for Volume 1 of Green Lantern. See ya.